This is The Mudroom, uncommon sense parenting classes with your parenting coach, Alana Robinson. Weekly nuggets of developmentally appropriate parenting wisdom to help you parent your toddlers, preschoolers, and kindergartners more effectively with less effort. The Mudroom is recorded live on Facebook every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Now, here's Alana.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Mudroom, our weekly free uncommon sense parenting class. How is everyone doing this week? Happy belated Thanksgiving to all of my fellow Canucks. I hope you were able to eat, drink, and be merry and reflect on all the things you have to be thankful for. I know this year may have been harder. It's been a rough 10 months for so many people, myself included. But I still have so much to be incredibly grateful for. Healthy kids, a roof over my head, a wonderful, if somewhat difficult to pin down, husband. Not his fault, the army does that. All my wonderful clients and all of you, my dear listeners. So thank you so much for being here. It's because of you that I keep showing up every week. It's hard to believe that we're finishing up our fifth season of The Mudroom. Like, how crazy is that? It's really hard to believe. Before we jump into our topic today, allow me to introduce myself for anybody who's new around here. My name is Alana Robinson, and I'm a parenting coach for parents of toddlers, preschoolers, and kindergartners. I help you understand why your children are misbehaving and how to fix it without stickers, counting to three, or losing your shit. I'm your host here on The Mudroom. I'm also the host of the Parenting Posse Facebook group, and I'm the creator of the Parentability Program, where I help you raise well-behaved kids who listen. No matter where you're catching this class, please like and subscribe so that you never miss another one. It also helps us to reach more parents who need support. So, we originally discussed this back in 2020 when the pandemic had just hit and parents were feeling really, really guilty about their kids' lack of playmates and therefore a lot of pressure to play with their kids. But this concern hasn't gone away with the easing of the pandemic restrictions. And lately, it's been coming up more and more again on Instagram, in the posse, in my emails. In September, I ran our regulation cycle workshop, and it even came up during the Q&A call for that workshop. So I think it's time to revisit this. First, I want to say that this concept of parents playing with their kids is a relatively new thing. Sure, parents have always played with their kids, but historically, it's been at our convenience. The idea that parents should be engaging in play with their children daily for long periods of time is something that seems to have solidified mainly in millennial parents. And parents are making a solid go of it, but what I hear from parents all the time is that it usually ends in tears because they aren't playing right, and all they can think about is their to-do list. All the work that they should be doing, all the household chores, not to mention all the health news, politics, and social issues coming to a head. So it's difficult to stay engaged when, quite frankly, Barbies and Hot Wheels and building sandcastles is not all that engaging for us. So here's what you need to know about play. In order for it to have all of the brain-boosting, life-enhancing, social skills-creating goodness that everybody talks about, both parties need to be in a play state. What the fuck is a play state? You know when you're doing something fun that you just deep down enjoy and you get in this kind of state of flow where time doesn't exist. You could keep doing this forever. You're not worried about your phone. You're not worried about your to-do list. You're totally in the moment and you're just genuinely happy and fulfilled. That's a play state. This is one of the reasons why short recess and lack of outdoor time is such a hot topic, because there's research that shows that it can take children up to an hour to settle into a play state, which means that for a lot of kids who aren't given big chunks of free play time, they're just starting to get the benefits of play and then they have to stop. But I've spoken on that in another episode, so we're going to leave it for there. For us, what's the implication of this? Well, if you're not in a play state, if playing with your children is a chore for you and you're basically a warm body that's trying, bless you, you're trying, but you're just bored off your nut, you're not actually helping your child. You may actually be hindering them because it's really, really hard to get into a flowy play state when your partner is just not engaged. In fact, it's nigh on impossible. That's what they mean when they tell you that you're playing wrong. They know that you aren't on the same wavelength as they are. They can sense it. When we play, we get all synced up with our playmates so that we can engage in this imaginary world together. That's why when kids get deep into a game, it's like watching a really good improv. They're all vibing without having to talk about it. Dr. Stuart Brown, in his book Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul, stresses that play is a state of mind. It's not an activity. And when we're in a play state, we attune with those around us. We bond and we get on the same page. That is the benefit of you playing with your child. Bonding, attunement, co-regulation. There's that back and forth happening. So if you're bored, disengaged, and just plain not into it, neither of you is getting the benefit of the play. You're not accomplishing what you think you are. And that's why they say you aren't playing right, because you aren't actually playing. You're going through the motions. You are not required to be your child's playmate. You're their parent. You're not their friend. You're not a clown. You're not a cruise director. It is not your job to entertain your child. Does that mean that you can never play with them? No, of course. You can do it when it feels engaging and fun and purposeless. What it does mean is that you can let go of that little guilty asshole on your shoulder who is telling you that you really should put down the book and get up and play with them. If your child is engaged in independent play and is in a play state, inserting yourself into that breaks the state and removes all of the good stuff. So sit down, read your Sophie Kinsella novel, or Colleen Hoover, whatever your taste is, and do it guilt-free. And if you're like, well, I want to play with them, I just don't want to play Legos or superheroes or Disney princesses, that's doable. Find something that you both find enjoyable and puts you both in a play state. For my boys and I, that's swimming. We all get in the pool and we have a grand old time, and before I know it, my husband is home from work. We can spend all afternoon in the pool together. That's fun for me, it's fun for them. That's playing with them. And that's great. We don't have to do it every day, and we don't have to do it all day. And I don't feel guilty one bit for telling them, no, really, you need to go downstairs and entertain yourselves, because I know once or twice a week we have a specific activity that we all enjoy that we'll do together. Quality over quantity. During the pandemic, most of my play with my sons was card games. They were 4 and 7, and they'd been out of school for a year, and I had a company to run on top of educating them. So I couldn't always be playing with them. And quite frankly, they don't want me to play with them all the time. They like to play fight and build these little worlds out of Lego and dress up, and I don't find any of that fun. It's a drag. But I taught them to play Uno and War and go fish, and we all enjoy it. So that's been our winter play for a few years now. My youngest loves to color, and I love to color. So I make an effort to set aside some time every weekend to pull all of our coloring books and pencils and sit down with him and color. That doesn't mean that every time he colors, I have to do it with him, though. We've been drilled on the idea that if we aren't engaging with our children 24/7, even if we're touched out, bored, frustrated, and overwhelmed, that they'll be stupid. That we've somehow landed in this place of being our children's entertainers. As I said in the beginning, this is a fairly new thing. My mom didn't entertain me, her mom sure as heck didn't. Somewhere in the last 30-ish years, we got the idea that it's our job to be our children's playmates. And that's not helping us, and it's not helping them. And you know where this comes from? There was a study done in the 1960s by a woman named Marion Diamond, which showed that rats raised in what they called an enriched environment had larger, more complex brains with a thicker cortex, which is where most of the data processing takes place. And that study, even though I'm sure you've never heard of it until right now, took hold in Western society and it spread like wildfire. And the idea that stimulating your child all the time was the best way to get them ahead in life took hold. And here's the thing. Diamond later explained that what she meant by quote unquote enriched environments were ones filled with play. The rats were exposed to a wide variety of toys and they socialized with other rats. But because she was a female scientist in the 1960s, she was getting ridiculed for being the girl who plays with rats, so she changed her language to get her research taken more seriously. Misogyny has very far-reaching consequences. And I don't think she could have anticipated what an intense impact that's had on how we raise our kids. Especially now that the new science is showing how important self-regulation is. We don't have to be stimulating them all the time. They just have to have lots of opportunities for play. And that doesn't require us. Also, stop saying that you need to work on their independent play. No, no, they do. That isn't your job. Play is the work of childhood. What you need to do is give them the time and space to do that work, to practice. And I think that might actually be the hardest part of prioritizing independent play, is holding yourself back from doing something. This isn't something that we can do for them. The absence of doing something is actually really hard. It's okay if they get upset. It's okay if they get frustrated. Children who are used to being entertained are going to have an extinction burst. It's going to happen, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you were indispensable and that they're totally screwed because they have no independent play skills. It just means the status quo has changed. And kids like consistency. It's frustrating and uncomfortable and scary when the status quo changes. Acknowledge that, but don't let it derail you. So let go of the guilt. Just let it go. Channel Elsa. Put your focus on giving them the space to play independently and finding an activity that the two of you enjoy and puts you both in a play state. And schedule that in once or twice a week. So that's it. You don't have to play with your kids unless you want to. If you're struggling to identify a common play interest with your kids, or you want some guidance on how to ease your children into independent play, come see us in the Parenting Posse. There's over 10,000 parents in there who would be happy to chat about it with you. Ooh, mama needs some coffee. And help you figure it out. All right, have a great week, everyone, and I will see you next week for another Uncommon Sense Parenting class. Bye.
You've been listening to The Mudroom, Uncommon Sense Parenting Classes with Alana Robinson. If you like what you just heard, remember to join us live every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Facebook. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, share, and connect with us in the Parenting Posse Facebook group. This has been an Alana Robinson Family Services production.